You're listening to Adopter Stories on the Adoption and Fostering Podcast. When I first set out as an adoptive parent, I was told there are no straightforward adoptions. In this series of podcasts, we're looking for adopters to tell their stories in their own words. We've limited the questions and we're going to try to not lead the conversation, but rather let the adopter share what they want to share, however they want to share it. All adoption stories are unique and all adoption stories represent the coming together of different experiences, motives, hopes and aspirations. They don't often go to plan, and many adoptive parents discover that their lives are taken in directions that they never anticipated. If you'd like to share your story or would like to get in touch, you can message through the Adoption Fostering Podcast Facebook page or through our Twitter feed. In this first episode, Claire is going to tell her story. With her husband Steve, they adopted their son Jake in 2011 when he was 7.5 years old.
We had difficulty conceiving, tried for a few years, and decided that IVF really wasn't for us at that particular time. So many people were going through IVF but were splitting up or getting into huge debt because the cost of IVF was so expensive.
Yeah.
And we decided that that wasn't a route we wanted to go down, didn't want to set ourselves up to fail. I also knew that if we saved and had enough for, say, 3 rounds of IVF, if it didn't work, I wasn't the kind of person who could stop after 3 rounds. I'd want one more, and then one more, and then one more. So decided that actually we're better to not even start down that road. It took a long time to come round to the idea of adoption because I always thought it was going to be like going to mother care or looking through the catalogue and going, oh, that one, please. So it took a lot of thinking about and a lot of research before I actually made a call. And as it turned out, it was exactly how we found Jake in a catalogue. So kind of went full circle. We didn't have an age or a sex of child in mind. Steve's a bit older than I am, and he didn't want to be an old dad at the school gates. So wanted to go slightly older. We went to Family Futures first. And had an interview with them. And ironically, they said that they were very happy to take us on, but we would end up with an older, more complex child than if we went through the local authority. So went back to our local authority, went through that, and ended up with a really complex 7.5-year-old. Wasn't so complex on paper, but yeah. Love of my life, but my goodness. Difficult. It took us, I think, about 2 years from the initial phone call to getting Jake home. 2.5 years. At that time, we had loads and loads of hoops to jump through, and it really did feel like hoop jumping before we could actually get on training, and then it was pretty straightforward from starting the training. Because I think often parents get very missed out of all of this. My parents didn't ask to be adoptive grandparents. And nobody actually asks your parents how they feel about it. It's just a case of, we've made this decision. And I remember sitting down with Steve's parents, and it was Christmas Day, and telling them that we decided to adopt. And being very, very shocked at it all, which has kind of come full circle because they're really not on board now. And telling my parents and getting a very different reaction. I think we become very selfish over our desire to adopt and have a family and don't necessarily take on the extended family and the bigger picture of how life is going to affect them. Mm-hmm. And they're very much, I think, a missing group.
Yeah.
Focus is always on, yeah, it's always on about your eco map, your friends and family. But actually, whoever stops and asks our parents if they want to be adoptive parents, adoptive grandparents? I found it really, really difficult from day one. People talk about honeymoon periods. Mm-hmm. I think the honeymoon period probably lasted a day,
right,
possibly two. And on paper, knowing what I know now, I don't know why I was surprised. I was just completely and utterly blindsided and had this complete rose-tinted glasses on.
Yeah.
You know, my son was 7.5, was removed forcibly at 3.5, three different foster care placements, a broken down special guardianship, back to his second foster carers. And I expected everything to be okay. And I kind of read that now or talk that now and go, my God, how stupid were you? How naive were you?
Yeah.
To think that that was just going to be all right. So I really, really struggled the first 6 months at least, didn't know which way was up, suffered dreadfully from post-adoption depression, which wasn't really talked about back in 2011, and didn't name it or didn't recognise it at that point. Yeah, we had fantastic times together. Absolutely amazing. Just really simple stuff. You know, Jake had never been for a bike ride, never learnt to ride a bike. So have all of those memories. But actually, it's so much harder than I think anybody tells you. I'd be walking around the supermarket crying, pushing a trolley, and people would be looking at me. And I'd be going, isn't hay fever awful? And this would be like in March and April time. Because I just didn't know what to do. I didn't know what a mum was. Jake had 7.5 years experience of being a child ahead of me.
Yeah.
And I was never going to be able to catch up with that. He was always going to be 7.5 steps in front of me. Yeah, we'd go to the park and I didn't know what he could do. I didn't know whether he could climb the monkey bars. He knew. I didn't. Everything was such a steep learning curve. I actually said to my social worker, I cried and cried. I got on really well with my social worker, luckily. I was able to be very honest. And she said to me, she goes, what's wrong? And I said, I'm not the kind of mother I wanted to be or thought I was going to be. And she said to me, she goes, what kind of mother did you think you were going to be? And I said, I was going to be home baking and wearing flowery dresses and very calm. Yeah, you just done what she did. So she laughed a lot. And she said, whatever made you think you were going to be that kind of mother? And I was like, because I wanted to be that kind of mother. And of course, that's just not real. But I had one expectation of what I was going to be like. And I had another expectation of what my son was going to be like.
Yeah.
And another one of what our family was going to be like. And actually, none of them mingle. None of them go together. And I look back to those early days and it's all very hazy. I think I've kind of blocked a lot of it out.
Right.
It's only when I read some of the emails that I sent to my social worker, 2 o'clock in the morning, absolutely desperate, not knowing what to do with the child, not knowing how to help him, not knowing what he was going through, that it kind of comes back to me how awful that first year, 18 months was. I think we lost a lot of friends during the early days, people who I really thought was going to be there, who were our references, who were there throughout, disappeared round the hill. They didn't like the way that we had to parent. They didn't like the way that we couldn't just fit into their lifestyle because they had children the same kind of age and just presume that Jacob would be able to go down on a Friday night with us. And of course, that's not going to happen. He needed to be at home, he needed routine, he needed to be kept close. So I think the biggest shift for me was meeting adopters who have been my absolute backbone. And if I hadn't have met those adopters, I don't know where we would be now. One particular adopter, I sat next to at a meeting and I just cried. And she was like, I'll look after you. She goes, come and see me and it'll be fine. And I turned up at hers on this play date. And it must have been 18-month-old little girls all wearing really pretty dresses, lacy dresses, all looking exactly the same. And there's me and Jake who turned up. He turned up with a football. She got a greenhouse. We didn't stay long. But actually, she's been there throughout. And another adopter, I went camping. And Jake had the most almighty meltdown because it was all just too much. I was doing things because I needed the company, not putting him first. And she walked over to me. She stepped over Jake. She gave me a glass of wine. She smiled, turned around and walked off. And actually, we've been the best of friends since. I think we've moved on from what non-adopters' expectations are of us and trying to live and fit into that lifestyle to actually fitting with other adopters who really get it, who don't judge, and feeling absolutely validated and supported, to now having a really good balance. We now have, I would say, adoption friends are my main core friends, but I have school mums, we have football mums, football friends, and we're able to kind of branch out a bit more and feel safe because the adoption community is there for us. Keep your expectations low and then lower them again. Be honest. Be honest with how you're feeling, especially in the early days. Yeah, I had everything I'd always wanted, but I couldn't stop crying. And I couldn't explain to people how that felt or why I was crying. It's just because it was very different to what I wanted or what I thought it was going to be and how I was going to be. Support groups have been my saviour. Just being able to, sometimes it's the smallest thing, but just being able to have a laugh and be completely un-PC with people who get it. I get really cross with people who are not in the adoption world, but are like, talk about real mother and will they go back and how long have you got them for and send them back if they're not behaving. And are they real siblings? And all of those terminology just kind of gets your heckles up sometimes.
Yeah.
We're actually with you, when you're with a group, we can be very un-PC. We can say things because everybody understands and everybody gets it. And I just think that that just really helps. Oh, I was never going to be a flowery dress wearing mother. Possibly a bit of home baking, but yeah, that's debatable. Much more a camping mum with mud on my face, which you can probably still see. I think you kind of have to take the picture of what you thought you were going to be and rip it up. And I can only kind of associate it to how when you're growing up, do you imagine your wedding day is going to be?
Yeah.
And most women will have an idea of what their wedding day is going to be like. The reality is often very different. But it's taking what you thought and trying to change, just blank that out and start with a fresh page. We come from parenting very differently. We've both come from very different families. How much we can row, and how much we can row just by looking at each other. And I think having a child and having an adopted child has really magnified the differences. But we talked about how we were going to parent through all the courses, the ITAC and the ACT, till we were blue in the face, and we were coming at it. But actually, when you're doing this day to day, you're just in survival mode. Mm-hmm. I think Steve has struggled being knocked from being a number one priority to possibly number three or four, because I've got Jake and then I've got the dog and possibly the goldfish. And that's a big shift and that's a big change. it is very difficult when you've got one half going on courses and trying one thing and not, yeah, I'm far from getting it right and far from therapeutic, my goodness. But when you're trying, it's quite hard when 50% of you isn't, yeah, or is coming from it differently. I think also you kind of get to the stage that you're too tired to go out. And then when you go out, you have nothing to talk about apart from your child. I think a lot of that is the norm, yeah. And it definitely changes your relationship. And I wouldn't say in our case it has strengthened. It's definitely not strengthened us. Don't think I could go through that process again. It took everything out of me that I would worry I don't have that to give again. Understand about therapeutic parenting from the start. Go into it much more eyes open and much less the pink fluffy fairy tale. Try and keep things more simple. Wanted to try and give Jake everything he'd missed. And I know that we rushed a lot of things. And I look back even at photos now and see how terrified he was. And I thought he was happy and I thought he was smiling. But actually, when you look at the photos again, it's like, oh my goodness, how terrified was he? But because we didn't know him, didn't know what we were looking at. And I was so, I think, wrapped up in trying to survive myself, wasn't in a position to be able to see that he was struggling. And I think also I'd try and get a regular babysitter. I could go out with Steve. So even if it was every couple of months, we struggle with babysitters. Jake would never have a babysitter. And I think if we'd have done something like that from the beginning, that might have helped us as a couple, just seeing it as part and parcel of, well, every 2 months, mum and dad go out, but they come back.
Yeah.
Rather than it being, you know, 18 months down the line of trying to go out for an evening and having an absolute disaster. It's that balance, isn't it? Because you need to keep them close. You don't want to be introduced to new people. But actually, I think sometimes for your sanity and for your relationship, you also maybe need to bring that back. I think I'd just like to say that although I adopted an older child, I don't believe my story is any harder than anybody else's. Mm-hmm. And you'll see that you'll see on Twitter that actually those with very young children struggle just as much. It's not about the age that the child's adopted, and get away from this, well, you know, they're only young, so that's okay. Absolutely love him like I never knew I could love anybody. And I've kind of in my bio I've said that I wouldn't change him, but I'd change the world for him. Very happy.